from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres visit residents in Central Sulawesi. U.S. State Secretary Mike Pompeo expresses U.S. commitment to help restore Palu. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres visited earthquake and tsunami victims in the field hospital and shelter posts as well as several points affected in Palu, Central Sulawesi on Friday. Before visiting a number of points, head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Willand Rampageli, explained the areas affected by the earthquake, tsunami and liquefaction and the handling of the post-earthquake emergency. For the Vice President and the UN Secretary General and representatives of the World Bank at Mutiara Al Jufri Airport, Palu. Willand also said that the emergency response is still underway and the Central Sulawesi Provincial Government has extended the emergency response status until 26 October 2018. The UN Secretary General Antonio was very impressed with the disaster management by the Indonesian government, which was responsive to disaster management. The handling could take place better after the land and sea access has been improved and the basic utilities such as electricity, water, and fuels had been recovered. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo expressed again his country's commitment to help recover post-earthquake and tsunami hit Central Sulawesi region, which occurred at the end of September. This was stated in a press statement from U.S. Foreign Ministry spokesman Heather Nauert on Friday. The commitment was conveyed by Mike Pompeo through telephone calls to his counterpart Mr. Retno Marsudi on Wednesday. The commitment discussed the distribution of humanitarian aid from the U.S. that had arrived in Palu, Central Sulawesi. The U.S. government has provided humanitarian assistance worth $3.7 million through the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and sent three C-130 Hercules aircraft to assist the delivery of relief items to the people in the affected areas. The 3C-130 aircraft arrived in Balikpapan Sepinggan Airport, East Kalimantan, October 5, 2018. The planes helped deliver logistical humanitarian assistance to Mutiara Al Jufri Airport in Palu, Central Sulawesi every day. The United States donated 2,210 roll of plastic seating sufficient for emergency protection for 110,500 people affected by the disaster. In addition, USAID also distributed emergency refugee devices such as blankets, hygiene kits, solar lights, and also said drones to help children cope with disaster trauma. Indonesia has mainstreamed 94 out of 169 targets of Sustainable Development Goals SDGs in the first 5 years, 2015-2019. In the next 5 years of the plan, Indonesia will include all the targets. From 241 indicators, 165 of them had been well defined, and the data of them is available. This was stated by Indonesia Minister of National Development Planning, Bambang Brojonegoro, in his remarks during a discussion with the team implementing the SDGs in a changing world. Localization inclusiveness impacting for the impacts at Nusa Dua Bali on Friday. He also said that Indonesia has decentralized most of its development efforts to local governments. Therefore, SDGs should also be localized to sub-national level, both provincial or district or cities level. Minister Bambang added that the principle of SDGs implementation has been Indonesia's biggest challenge. But Indonesia has addressed this biggest challenge by involving government, parliament, private sector, and civil societies. Therefore, he reinforced the need to strengthen partnership to realize 2030 UN agenda.
As we have agreed, we need to further our efforts to end poverty and hunger everywhere, to combat inequalities within and among countries, to build peaceful, just, and inclusive societies, to protect human rights and promote gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls, and to ensure the lasting protection of the planet and its natural resources.
In his remark, Minister Bambang also thanked the IMF and World Bank Group for giving special attention to the implementation of SDGs, especially in its localization, inclusiveness, and impact investment. He also urged the international community to continue the efforts for the welfare of the people without compromising the nature to achieve the SDGs. The Olympic Committee and Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games visited Jakarta to witness the 2018 Asian Paragames event. In a special interview with the RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Friday, Senior Manager of International Communication Team from the Olympic Committee and Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games, Takanori Isiki, said that his arrival at the match venue, especially to media center, was to study media management.
Because this is the last international competition before the Tokyo 2020, so there's a lot to learn from us, like, you know, how you managing the daily, you know, operation to the media. We are, because we're in charge of the dealing with media relations, and I'm particularly for the foreign media. So how, you know, organizers in Indonesia Asian Para Games are dealing with with the journalists. So that's our main point to visit here.
Takanori Isiki further said that the 2020 Olympic and Paralympic Games in Tokyo have begun since July and August. There are already activities welcoming the World Sport Event. He also expresses admiration for the organization of the Asian Para Games, starting from the spectacular opening and every match. Indonesia continues to develop innovation in combating plastic waste by making cassava-based plastic. Founder of Green Hope Indonesia, Tommy Ciptajaya, during an interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, recently said that at a meeting in New York, United States of America, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, along with Green Hope Indonesia, explained about the commitment of the Indonesian government in fighting plastic waste by making cassava-based plastic.
Kami pun di New York waktu itu, saya di salah satu sesi.
We were also in New York at the time. I was at one of the sessions coinciding with the Minister of Marine Affairs. He also declared with the extraordinary commitment from the Indonesian government to really fight plastic waste, especially the trash coming to the ocean. There was also a solution presented from Indonesia with the availability of an extraordinary amount of cassava, which turned out to make biodegradable plastic with cassava-based material. It's very economical, competitive, and could be part of the solution. Tommy Ciptajaya also affirmed that the innovation carried out by Indonesia received appreciation from the international community, with the frequent participation of Indonesia in international forums, which are fully funded by the committee. Green Hope Indonesia is currently a member of the World Bank Forum, especially in the field of social entrepreneurship. Committee of Asia Para Games 2018 in Napgod has decided to move the closing ceremony from main stadium of Gelora Bung Karno to Madia Stadium. Operational start opening closing of the Asian Para Games, Christian Hasi Holland to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Friday afternoon in Jakarta said that a total of 8,000 of Indonesian military, TNI, Indonesian National Police personnel, Polri and civilians will involve to secure the closing ceremony of Asian Para Games 2018 in Napgod.
Kemarin kebetulan kita baru.
A meeting has been led by Brigadier General Imam as one of the executive members of Deputy Board and Head Operational Bureau Slamet said that the committee will involve 7,000 police and TNI and around 1,200 personnel including 598 provincial security troops personnel and there are also personnel of transportation service. Christian L. said that all the security troops will create conducive situation for all spectators. He said that the closing ceremony of the Asia Para Games will be enlivened by Indonesian and South Korean famous artists. The last item, after successfully gaining more than 20 gold medals at the 2018 Asian Para Games event, Indonesia is optimistic to be able to obtain achievement of the upcoming Tokyo Paralympic 2020. Chairman of the National Paralympic Committee, NPC, Seni Marbun, in a press conference in Jakarta on Friday, affirmed that Indonesia is targeting 2 gold medals at Tokyo Paralympic 2020. Seni is very optimistic considering the Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi will soon build a disability special sports school in Solo Central Java. In addition, there is freedom to conduct training and financial support is available from Indonesian government. This makes MPC optimistic to be able to attain achievement for the next 2 years. For 2020, because the minister gave all this exciting equipment to be brought to Solo, of course, we will be even more excellent later. With simple equipment, we are great. Now the minister says that the post equipment is brought to Solo for training. Everything is okay. We are given pocket money, we are given the freedom to practice, we are given the freedom to search for coaches arranged for ourselves by the Minister of Youth and Sport. We must use it carefully. Later in 2020, either to forget 2 gold medals we will gain. On the same occasion, Seni Marbun also thanked the Governor of Indonesia for giving more attention to the MPC. In addition, he also thanked the media people who had popularized various sports of disabled athletes for the public. He added that there are still many Indonesians who do not know the existence of special sport for people with disabilities. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country, a regular segment presenting various information from Indonesia within a week. The first news came from Bandung, West Java. The 2018 Kaulinan Urang Lembur Festival 2018 or Village Community Game Festival was held at the Close Theater of West Java Culture Park in Jalan Insinyur Haji Juanda or Dago, Bandung from Thursday to Saturday. This rare festival is believed to be able to hone creativity. The chair of the festival's creative team, Mas Nanu Muda, said the purpose of organizing this event was to introduce the potential of local wisdom related to Kaulinan Urang Lembur or traditional games, but it was packaged in shows. The festival, which was held by the method of performance, according to Nanu Muda, became a challenge so that the participants were able to present the aesthetic aspects on the stage, especially in perspective of traditional games related to education, which is able to stimulate the creative side of the participants communally. Nanumuda hopes that this traditional game festival can generate awareness of cultural heritage preservation for every individual involved, especially children. The next news came from Bau Bau, Southeast Sulawesi. The mayor of Bau Bau, Southeast Sulawesi, Dr. I.S. Tambunan, stated that the 477th anniversary of Bau Bau and the 17th anniversary of the city as an autonomous region was a momentum for renewal and mutual enthusiasm in creating and innovating regional development. While giving a speech in the opening of the Bau Bau Expo 2018, which was held in the coastal area of the Kota Mara Courtyard, Bau Bau City, on Thursday night, he invited all components of development in the region to provide constructive input for sustainable development. At the development exhibition, each outlet, both the regional work unit within the scope of the Bau Bau City government, the state-owned enterprises, regional-owned enterprises, and private-owned enterprises, displayed programs and works that had been achieved. The latest news came from Palu, Central Sulawesi, one of the Indonesian Navy ships which was deployed by the Indonesian Navy's Oceanographic Center, KRI Spica 934, found an ocean floor avalanche at the depth of 200 until 500 meters in Tanjung Labuan Wani, Palu Bay, when conducting a survey and mapping after the earthquake and tsunami in Palu Bay waters. Head of the center, Navy Junior Marshal Hario Susmoro, in his written statement last Friday, said that the results of this data were obtained by KRI Spica after conducting a full covert survey using the multi-beam S-Echo sounder EM-302 capable of measuring depths up to 6,000 meters in Palu Bay. The results were confirmed by tsunami experts Dr. Gegar Sapta Prasetya and Dr. Rahman Hidayat, who took part on board at KRI Spica and called it submarine slumps, which were thought to be the origin of the tsunami power. For the central government, he said, this data and information became the basis for making policies on how to predict future geological processes and become important information in efforts to mitigate post-earthquake disasters with future tsunamis. Whereas for the regional government in Central Sulawesi Province and Palu City government, the data can be used in the planning of rebuilding infrastructure around the coast as well as rearranging the spatial detail plan. He said that the underwater landslide was very difficult to predict even though various early detection devices had been installed. Well, that was news from across the country. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI, World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. We begin from the information on the crash of Bolivian plane on October the 13th, 1976. A Boeing 707 plane crashed in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, leaving 100 people dead. The plane hit a building in the city center and destroyed a football field which was close to a runway. The plane lost its control due to the problem in one of its four engines after it took off at 1:30 local time. According to a Bolivian air traffic controller, some people heard an explosion before the plane crashed, and they also saw flame in one of the plane's engines of the left wing. Wreckages of the plane fell down and struck a shop. Eventually, the plane destroyed a football field which was being used at the time. Some spectators were reportedly killed in the location. The plane belonged to the Jet Power, Miami, Florida, and it was being rented by Bolivian national airline company Lloyd Airano Boliviano. Prior to the fatal crash, the Boeing 707 plane had successfully delivered machines from Houston, Texas to Santa Cruz in a bid to establish an oil well. The second information is that four Palestinians hijacked a Lufthansa plane. Four Palestinians hijacked a plane owned by the German national flag carrier Lufthansa on October the 13th, 1977. They demanded the release of 11 terrorist convicts, Badr Meinhof, also known as the Red Army faction, the left-wing group terrorized Germany for 30 years. The group had killed more than 30 people, comprising business people, military officers, and government officials. By murdering, the group aimed to seize capitalism in Palestine. The plane hijackers took control of the plane after one of the hijackers shot a pilot. The special German armed force immediately besieged the plane after arriving at the airport. The German armed force freed 86 hostages and killed 3 out of the 4 hijackers. The last information is about the World Disaster Reduction Day. The 13th of October is commemorated as the World Disaster Reduction Day. It was initiated by General Assembly of the United Nations in a bid to encourage the public and government to participate in establishing communities being endurable to disaster. In the beginning, the day was commemorated on every Wednesday in the second week of However, the General Assembly of the United Nations changed the commemoration of 13th of October on 21st of December 2009 and named it the World Disaster Reduction Day. That was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on OECD rates Indonesian government debt as low and maintained. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, Economic Survey in 2018 states that the Indonesian government debt is still low and maintained. OECD Secretary General Angel Gurria, at the launch of Indonesia's 2018 OECD Economic Survey in a series of IMF World Bank Group annual meetings in Nusa Dua, Bali on Wednesday, presented the results of the economic survey in Indonesia, one of which was related to government debt. Angel Gurria said that the rules related to the budget deficit had held back debt growth. However, additional spending on infrastructure, health and social assistance is constrained by low income. Therefore, resources must be obtained through better efficiency and greater income. Angel Gurria explains that the level of trust in the Indonesian government is higher than all OECD countries. Indonesia's economic survey by the OECD is conducted regularly every 2 years since 2008. The 2018 survey also marks the 10th anniversary of the collaboration of the Indonesian government with the OECD in this program. In general, the OECD notes that living standards in Indonesia also continue to increase. He said this thanks to a strong economic expansion and good government policies, so that the poverty and inequality rate declined with access to public services expanding. The OECD also notes that per capita income is growing stronger in Indonesia. Unfortunately, the infrastructure gap is still large and health spending and social assistance need to be added to increase inclusiveness. According to Angel Gurya, welfare will also be better if the results of the environment-related outcomes get more attention. He added, economic growth in Indonesia is expected to continue solidly in the range of 5% per year, which has been maintained since 2013, driven by consumption factors and lately also driven by infrastructure investment that is needed. While annual inflation is in the middle of the 3.5% range, plus minus 1%. Angel Gurya said that the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development survey was also carried out by accommodating two important factors, increased public income for friendly growth and developed tourism in order to promote the sustainability of regional development. Responding to the OECD survey, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said she was very happy that the OECD's general view of the Indonesian economy was very positive and very inspiring. She revealed the thing that should be noted in the results of the Indonesian Economic Survey by the OECD was that the Indonesian economy showed positive growth. This despite experiencing pressure from the global economic downturn. The survey, according to Sri Mulyani, emphasized that the government must increase income, strengthen youth as untapped development assets, and strengthen the tourism sector. According to Sri Mulyani, the partnership with the OECD is an opportunity to share experiences in two directions regarding inclusive and sustainable development. The OECD is an organization of 36 economically developed countries. Sri Mulyani explained that in the experience of developing OECD member countries could be studied by Indonesia. Sri Mulyani also said Indonesia cooperates with the OECD because it is in accordance with the nature of the Indonesian people who enjoy learning and enjoy sharing experience. Well, that was my Indonesia today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Vice President Yusuf Kalla and United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres pity the earthquake tsunami victims in the Pil Hospital and shelter posts as well as several points affected in Palu, Central Sulawesi on Friday. U.S. State Secretary Mike Pompeo expressed again his country's commitment to help recover post earthquake and tsunami hit Central Sulawesi region, which occurred at the end of September. Indonesia has mainstreamed 94 out of 169 targets of Sustainable Development Goals SDGs in the first 5 years of 2015-2019. In the next 5 years of the plan, Indonesia will include all the targets. From 241 indicators, 165 of them had been well-defined, and the date of them is available. This was stated by Indonesia Minister of National Development Planning, Bambang Brojonegoro, in his remarks during a discussion with the team implementing the SDGs in Changing World, Localization, Inclusiveness, Investing for the Impact at Nusa Dua Bali on Friday. The Olympic Committee and Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games visited Jakarta to witness the 2018 Asian Paragames event. In a special interview with Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia on Friday, Senior Manager of International Communication Team from the Olympic Committee and Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games, Takanori Ishiga, said that his arrival at the match venue, especially to Media Center, was to study media management. Indonesia continues to develop innovation in combating plastic waste by making cassava-based plastic. Committee of Asian Paragames 2018 in Nagoya has decided to move the closing ceremony from main stadium at Gelora Bung Karno to Madya Stadium. Operational start opening closing of the Asian Paragames, Christian Hasiholand to Air Rebel Service Voice of Indonesia Friday afternoon in Jakarta said that a total of 8,000 of Indonesian military tenai, Indonesian National Police Polri and civilian will involve to secure the closing ceremony of Asian Paragames 2018. After successfully gaining more than 20 gold medals at the 2018 Asian Paragames event, Indonesia is optimistic to be able to obtain achievement of the upcoming Tokyo Paralympic 2020. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Yogyakarta to enjoy the beauty of Blue Lagoon. Stay tuned. Listener, Blue Lagoon can be witnessed not only in Iceland, Europe, but also in Yogyakarta, Indonesia. The location of Blue Lagoon is on Jalan Kaliurang, kilometer 13, Dalam Village, Widodo Martani, Ngemplak, Sleman, Yogyakarta. Earlier, Blue Lagoon was water springs to fulfill the need of Ngemplak villagers and surrounding area. Over the time, the water springs changes to become a tourism object, which is attracted by most domestic and foreign tourists. Listener, actually the official name of the Blue Lagoon is Tirta Budi Bathing Place, but many tourists call it Blue Lagoon, because Tirta Budi Bathing Place has blue and clean water. It is very beautiful. Even though the bathing place is small, it can attract attention of many people, so that it is well known in and outside of Yogyakarta. From central Yogyakarta to Blue Lagoon, it is only 15 kilometers and can be accessed for 40-minute trip. To access the Blue Lagoon is not difficult. You just follow direction board. Before you arrive at the Blue Lagoon, you must walk. Along the journey, you will not feel fatigued because you will be presented with natural scenery of beautiful and exotic village. The Blue Lagoon or Tirta Budi opens starting from 7 a.m. until dawn, so you can be satisfied to explore the nature. Listener, when arriving at the Blue Lagoon, you can see three natural water springs. At the left, there is Wadon Lake, while at the right, there is Lanang Lake. There is also natural shower and can become natural massage place. And Blue Lagoon, which becomes the main pool, is located at the middle side. The pool is a favorite place for tourists to play water and try fresh and cool natural water springs. Because at the Blue Lagoon, you can soak and swim. The pool is around 1 until 3 meters deep. Listener, the best time to visit Blue Lagoon in Yogyakarta is when dry season or sunny day occurs. Because when it's sunny day, the purity of its water will be seen perfectly. If you come on holidays, we suggest you to come in the morning, because at the time, there are not many visitors coming so that you can be satisfied to swim or soak. After satisfying to play water, soak and swim, and you still want to be at the Blue Lagoon, you can take a rest at gazebos around the pool while eating food or snack. The typical rural atmosphere will make you feel at home. While relaxing, you can also take picture with beautiful rural nature as a background. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Blue Lagoon Tirta Budi in Yogyakarta. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello there, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Meselini, a regular segment which presenting various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, environment and technology, even lifestyle. In this edition, I will share information about the 2018 Indonesian art market. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. If you happen to be an art lover, especially paintings or paintings collector, you should visit the 2018 Indonesian Art Market. The event that has been included in the wonderful Indonesia 2018 calendar of events is an annual event that has entered its 11th year of implementation. The 2018 Indonesian Art Market is being held from October the 12th until 21st at JX International Surabaya. The Indonesian Art Market, or in Indonesian, Pasar Seni Lukis Indonesia, can be said to be the biggest painting event in Indonesia, which not only contains painting exhibition, but also a meeting place for painters, as well as a place to sell paintings directly by the artist to the consumer. This year, the Indonesian Art Market is participated in by 200 artists who showcase their latest works. The painters who take part in this event not only come from within the country, but also from countries in Asia. This annual event is part of a series of activities to celebrate the 73rd anniversary of East Jawa Province. Not only activities related to painting, this event will also be enlivened by theater, music, as well as contemporary dance performance. The Indonesian Art Market also organizes painting competitions for Indonesia's best tourist destinations through the Pesona Awards. Hopefully, this event would help bringing more tourists, both domestic and foreign ones, to the various destinations in Indonesia. Well, that was today's edition of Miscellany featuring the 2018 Indonesian Art Market. We will meet again in the next edition with another topic. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Adera. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Lebih Indah. Stay with us at www.voinews.id or frequency 3325 kHz.
Kau bawa cintaku aku. Bunga cinta bermekaran dalam jiwaku. Kan ku petik satu untukmu dan kau hadir merubah segalanya menjadi lebih indah. Kau bawa cintaku setinggi angkasa membuatku merasa sempurna dan membuatku untuk menjalani hidup berdua denganmu selama-lamanya. Kaulah yang terbaik untukku. Ku percayakan seluruh hatiku padamu. Kasihku satu janjiku, kaulah yang terakhir bagiku. Oh, 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 oh.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Lebih Indah, sung by Adera. The song tells about someone who promises not to be much open of his heart to anybody, but in fact, unexpectedly his heart is open again. This makes his life feel more beautiful. Adera Prabu Lantip Trengginas, or well-known Adera, released the first album in 2011 entitled Lebih Indah. At that time, single Lebih Indah, which was uploaded through Adera YouTube, was viewed by YouTube lovers in Indonesia and collected many subscribers and also hundreds of thousands of viewers. Adera is a son of Indonesian legendary musician Ebit G. Ade, who is well known to sing many songs with social themes. However, Adera said that he is not suitable to sing songs with long lyrics like his father. Adera, who loves Korean music, also said that he will seriously pursue musical world. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Di Antara Kita.
Saat lelahku mencari cinta yang tak kunjung datang, kau selalu ada di sini. Di depan mataku tempat untukku berbagi perasaan yang tersimpan, namun tak kuduga kaulah yang kutunggu. Canda kita tetap sama, tawa kita tak berubah, namun ada yang berbeda. Ku rasakan itu dari tatapan matamu yang bicara. Ada sesuatu di antara kita.
kita, biarkan saja dia berbunga.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Adera. Di Antara Kita is a song which tells best friends who are always together, sharing stories each other, and loving together. But now, there is something different. Love begins to grow. He hopes the love to be reality and not to be rejected. That was a glance of song entitled Di Antara Kita. Listener, after he succeeded in his first album, in 2015, Adera released a single album entitled Di Antara Kita. The single was created with concept and touching, which is a little bit different from the previous songs. Well, listener, that was our segment Music Corner for today by featuring Adera's songs. To conclude our segment, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Terlambat and Melukis Bayangmu. I'm Putri Safira Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Andai saja waktu itu tak kutunda untuk ungkapkan isi hati kepadanya, mungkin dia jadi milikku, bahagiakan hariku. Oh, tetapi kenyataan tak begitu. Di saat ku mencoba merajut kata dan berharap semua menjadi sempurna, tiba-tiba ada yang lain yang mencuri hatinya. Hilang sudah kesempatanku dengan
time. Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
Satu masa ketika ku menemukan cinta, saat itu kehadiranmu memberi arti bagi hidupku. Meskipun saat ini kita sudah tak bersama lagi, ada satu yang ku rindu, kehangatan cinta dalam pelukanmu. Selalu ada walau tersimpan di relung hati
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Membiarkan hatimu jatuh di pelukanku, memaksa nuraniku untuk jatuh cinta. Sudah cukup waktuku mengenalmu, aku ingin membawamu lebih jauh. Membiarkan asmara bicara sejujurnya, melabuhkan rindu di antara kita. Samudra cinta.
cara sejujurnya melabuhkan rindu di antara kita.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.